I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, July 29th, 2017, I am PW Torch contributor Rich Fan, and you are officially in the Deep Dive, a weekly expose where we dive deep into the subjects that matter most or are fun in the world of pro wrestling. This week's subject is going to be progress wrestling in the UK, but before we get started with that, I want to thank you guys for making last week an awesome inaugural show. I've gotten nothing but great responses and some great suggestions as far as things we can do in the future. As a result, we're going to be doing another show down the road on New Japan, where it'll just be a primer on what's what and who's who and the idea of strong style and all that fun stuff. That'll be, of course, something we have a lot of fun with because, as you can tell, I like to dive deep into these things, and as I joke with Wade Keller, editor and publisher of The Torch, when I was on this week's episode of the Wade Keller Wrestling Podcast on Podcast One, I am a person that overthinks a lot of things, and as you guys will see today, I overthink so much that when I start to talk about it, I blink and it's an hour. So before we jump into progress and we do that aforementioned overthinking and word vomit, I do want to use Kylan's great suggestion for what I want to talk about as far as things from last week, and he called it Rich's Righteous Rhetoric. And I love alliteration, I love using my own name, and I love talking to you guys. So hop on in, area code 515-605-9345, or email pwtdive@gmail.com. Now, before we start with progress, like I said, I want to talk about business from last week. New Japan's G1 is off to a strong start. We're almost at the halfway point. I recorded some audio today with PW Torch columnist Sean Radican. His Radican audio community will be up, I'm sure, soon. And we had some fun talking about the matches that have happened so far, our favorite matches, and a preview of things to come. I'm going to have Sean on in a few weeks. I believe it's the week before the last block matches, where we can kind of recap, talk about where things have gone, what we think about it, and what you guys think about it. And as I was thinking about it, and as I was talking with Sean and kind of going over in my head what I wanted to do with you guys tonight, one of the things that hopped into my head was, I don't want this show, and I don't want you guys as callers and contributors to feel like this is a fan measuring contest, if you pardon the parlance. If you call in and you know nothing about the subject, it's fine. Ask questions. I don't want this to be like a situation where I had a friend a few years ago that went into a comic shop, and everyone at that comic shop acted as if just because she was a female, she didn't know anything. And even if she didn't, it doesn't matter. That's why you're there, right? So that's what I want to do with us. And that's what I want this to be. Even though I'm really excited about progress today and I'm really excited about where we're going to go with it, I don't want you guys to feel like you can't contribute. So please hop in. Enjoy it, and I look forward to talking with you guys in the weeks to come. So, progress. What is it? Who are they? What do they do? Well, let's talk first about why progress exists. Jim Smallman, comedian, and his agent decided that they wanted to make a wrestling show. After a while, they brought in their friend, And so ultimately, the founders of Progress are three men, John Briley, Glenn Joseph, and Jim Smallman. They work primarily out of the London area. They're not very import heavy. And by import, I mean non-European wrestlers, non-UK wrestlers. They will bring in the occasional import, though. They'll go with Samoa Joe, who's been there, Adam Cole, Ricochet, Roderick Strong. They have local boys done good, like Finn Balor, come in when he was Prince Devitt prior to signing with WWE, or in that interstitial period where he was coming through. Definitely, if you're on Twitter and you are interested in anything we're talking about today, first thing I'm going to say is you have to know the phrase Demand Progress. Demand Progress is their on-demand website. If you go there, and if you go to This Is Progress, This Is _ Progress on Twitter, you can check out their site, check out what they're put up. They liken themselves to punk rock wrestling. They are very They're very edgy, but they're edgy in a way that isn't crazy. So this isn't like an ECW where they're going to have someone say, I'll take them both, I'm hardcore. Or it isn't something where they're trying to be WWE light. I think they're edgy because they know what they are, they're proud of it, and they push for it. And that individuality has actually ironically led to the WWE being very interested in them and their wrestlers. It's $7.50 a month for Demand Progress. I should have mentioned that. It's the easiest $7.50 that comes out of my account a month. It's really fun, really fun. In fact, it's so fun that one of the things I talk about when it comes to Progress is the idea of the shows. So when you talk about the shows at Progress, you could go to a show and, you know, back in the day, every show would have this crazy name for a big shop. But at Progress, each show is called a chapter. And so it's a chapter in the book. Each chapter has a title. Sometimes it'll be a pop culture reference. Sometimes it'll be a song lyric. Or, as my favorite, Chapter 50, it's what people told them when they signed up for making a wrestling show. I give it 6 months. So they're very self-effacing. In fact, there was an issue where Jim Cornette said some really wildly inappropriate things, surprise, surprise, to Jim Smallman about him and his family. And the next chapter was Old Man Yells at Cloud. And it was a racket. And I laughed my head off for a good 10 minutes when I saw that. But this isn't just going to be me today talking to you guys about how much I enjoy Jim Smallman, even though he's a cool dude. And he's probably one of the most adventurous people I can think of when it comes to a wrestling promoter, because a stand-up comedian gets into pro wrestling in the United Kingdom, takes it over here, and then myself as an American becomes not necessarily a Progress ultra. I don't think I'm that deep, but I am a super fan to be sure. And I went primarily to Orlando this year. And for those of you who listen to the East Coast cast know this, I went primarily because I wanted to see Progress. And I wanted to see them here in the States because there were so many wrestlers I didn't think I could see or would have the time to see in the United Kingdom if I ever was lucky enough to go. So with that in mind, I want to kind of break down some of the shows. Like we talked about the chapters. But the thing that's cool about Progress is they also have They have a school, so the Projo. And then because of the Projo, they have Endeavor. So each chapter, you have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And then they have Endeavor, which is E-N-D-V-R. And that's like their NXT show, where they show Progress training camp talent, such as the body guy Roy Johnson. I'll get into wrestlers later, but I want to just throw a couple out there where you can see them develop. The pastor, William Eaver, Bill Eaver. I mean, I love puns, so that's already going to be something. That's a natural fit. And so you have that, and then you start adding other things into the system. Natural Progression Series, which is going to be an up-and-coming talent showcase, and it could be either people they brought in or people that are in the greater UK area. And in doing all of this, they make sure everyone is welcome. So I'm going to talk about it in a later show, but they have a wrestler by the name of Jack Sexsmith, who, if you look at him, you can't really tell his sexuality. You can tell he is a man that loves everything and everyone. And I enjoy Jack Sexsmith not because he's treated like in the 80s or 70s where he would be treated in a less than, he's not man enough, et cetera way. He comes out there and he kicks just as much butt as, you know, a guy like Tommy End would, the now Aleister Black. So that makes it really cool. And then their strong style, UK style. So they have the super strong style 16 every year, which is like the G1. So if Rich likes the G1, you can be darn sure I'm going to like the super strong style 16. 16-man tournament. They get to the end. That person gets a title match down the road. This year's holder is Travis Banks, who's one half of the one of my favorite tag teams in progress, which I'll get to after we get to our first break when I start listing my favorite peeps, what they do and who they are. South Pacific Power Trip. And he's also, because of European wrestling, and again, we'll get into this more later as we go along. Actually, no, we'll do it now. The fun thing about progress is it's an island among an archipelago of wrestling entities in the United Kingdom. So some of their wrestlers may be faces in their promotion, but heels in another. And in the case of Travis Banks, the current Super Strong Style 16 holder, for the longest time in progress, he was a member of the South Pacific Power Trip with TK Cooper and Dahlia Black. I mean, these names, you can tell these are some great names. But also in other places like Rev Pro, ICW, IPW UK, etc., he was part of a tag team, Lycos, and now, of course, I'm going to forget his name. It's going to be Lycos and I can't remember the other gentleman's name, but their tag team name was CCK. And CCK, depending on which duo represented them, would mean anything. So Chris Brooks. Chris Brooks and Kid Lycos, when they're together, they're the Calamari Catch Kings. If they're with the – if they're with my brain stopped working, guys. Bear with me. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. If it's Travis Banks with the team, it becomes the Commonwealth Catch Kings. So that's really neat. So those sorts of things are big fans. Like, I imagine someone like an Angelico. If you watch a lot of Mexican wrestling, a tall, angular dude, that's what Chris Banks looks like. Lycos is a little luchador-looking guy who has a running joke of people will say, shut up, Lycos, before he even says anything. So those guys are typically jerk heels in other promotions. When they came to Progress, they're seen as rock star faces because they're going up against, again, that ties into what I was talking about with the territory system, the representatives of the WWE while in Progress Wrestling, the British strong style triad of Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne. Those three guys have gone on a hellacious rip through Progress because they own all the titles and are currently going on a CM Punk, Summer of Punk-esque tear through the rest of the roster. British Strong Style is the tag team. Seven and Bate are pretty good. They're excellent wrestlers, but they're dirty heels and they cheat as much as they can. Pete Dunne, you've seen him during the UK tournament. You've seen him on NXT. You've seen him, hopefully, at the Evolve Progress Super Show or any of the Evolve any of the Progress shows on Demand Progress. Pete is just, he gets it. The Bruiserweight gets it. He's just, anytime you go, you watch a Progress show, you'll see fans flipping him off. And he's just smiling, laughing his head off, and then he'll turn around and bite one of their middle fingers. So one, this is the relationship they have with their audience, which you couldn't really do in the WWE. And two, you can see they embrace their role well. When you see British Strong Style and Progress's wrestling rings, they're wearing the NXT jumpsuit jackets. They're constantly referring to Triple H either directly or by drinking water and doing the Triple H water celebration, which I think any of us have done in our lives at some point. And so when you put all this together, you have a stable of guys in Progress that's running rampant and you're killing any sort of joy because they have a stranglehold on the title. They have a stranglehold on the tag titles and you just, you constantly want to see them get their comeuppance. Now, when I'm talking about titles with Progress, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the special nature and special history of the Progress titles, which I'm going to do after this short commercial break.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, we're back on the deep dive. And a few seconds ago, I closed with the idea of the history of the titles and their awesomeness. And MMA Torch got me thinking about the current pay-per-view that's going to be going on tonight. So if you get a chance, definitely look at the UFC show. Check out the MMA Torch website and definitely give them a shout, because it's a nice companion to any of your cage fighting needs. So with that out of the way, let's talk about the titles. When Progress first came to be, their world title was a staff with their eagle logo on it, which some people thought was a little too Panzer Germanic for their taste. And personally, I didn't mind it. It went in Rome, as they say. But when you look at the title, it was their top belt. You have a lineage that's going to be, you know, indie-rific. And the big thing about the Progress World Championship is it is a true world championship. It's been defended now around the world. And Progress had a slow and steady plan when it came to developing their title. So they didn't come out with every title right off the bat. They started with the world championship. And with the world championship, you had some basic guys, Nathan Cruz, El Ligero. They are in a stable called The Origin. Rampage Brown, kind of like Bad News Brown meets Guy Ritchie. But then, one magical night, November 24th, 2013, Chapter 10, Glory Follows Virtue as if it were its shadow. Mark Andrews won the Natural Progression Series that year, the first. He cashed in his Natural Progression Series title shot against Rampage Brown, who himself had been in a multi-man title match. Mark wins. And Mark Andrews, you saw him in the UK tournament, punk rock guy, really cool guy, Mandrews in TNA, if you remember that. Mark Andrews wins. There's glory in the street. There's joy everywhere. But then someone comes out of the crowd, douses the ring in gasoline, and says if he does not get a title shot, he's burning the mother to the ground, starting with Mark Andrews. That man is one of my favorite wrestlers in all of Progress Wrestling. His name is Jimmy Havoc. Jimmy was trained with luminaries such as Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, in traditional wrestling style. However, his story has been from the day he became a professional wrestler and got out of the training camp, he could only get a job as a garbage wrestler. He could only do hardcore matches. He could only do the razor blade wielding, clothespin wearing ECWS death matches. Fine. Everyone's got to eat, right? But here's the problem with Jimmy. In Progress, for 2 years, Jimmy was the try-hard babyface that would just do whatever he could and would lose every match. So when he showed up on November 24th with piss and vinegar declaring that he needed to have a title match or else, it was a shock to everyone. So Jim Smallman agreed to do it. Havoc proceeds to beat the holy heck out of Mark Andrews. And with tears in his eyes, Jim Smallman had to count three and end Mark Andrews' reign at somewhere around 5 minutes. Mark Andrews, from November 24th, 2013 to today, 7/29/17, has never again held that title. That is insane, and that is one of the reasons, again, why I love Progress, because that's a story that wove and weaves itself still to this day, where every time he's in a title number one contenders match, it haunts him that that's there. I had the belt for 5 minutes, and then Jimmy Havoc took it away from me. Now, Jimmy F and Havoc, as he's known on the internet, He wins the belt and proceeds to hold on to it for 2 years, either with the London Riots, who were his part of his stable called Regression, which is, again, the opposite of Progress. And in that period, had some of the best, craziest matches I've seen in a wrestling ring. Jimmy got to the point where first the fans hated him, then they loved to hate him, and then in a few minutes I'll tell you about how they started to love him. But this is where the staff comes in. Jimmy wins, he has the staff, he's parading the staff around. At some point he determines the staff isn't good enough for him, and he comes out debuting a rocking title belt, wearing all white and in red with blood-stained letters, Die Havoc Die. Again, this is why Progress is punk rock wrestling. You get that visage, you get the steam and the smoke coming out of the ring. It's amazing. For the homework I put out for this week's episode, I put out the regression of Jimmy Havoc, and it had part of that in there. So let's fast forward. Jimmy has the belt. He's had it for 2 years. We have another super strong style come around. Will Ospreay of TNA, New Japan, indies around the world, renown, wins the super strong style and is celebrating. Jimmy comes out, beats him half to death, gives him the acid rainmaker. Imagine the rainmaker just given by a smaller English man who's quite funny. And while Ospreay's down on the ground, Jimmy ties him up and tells him if he has the guts to try to take his title, he will do something he will not regret. And so Jimmy Havoc puts Will Ospreay's head on a chair, grabs a fire axe, and says, if you come for your title match, I'm going to effing cut your head off. Now, in the world of professional wrestling, we talk about the idea of the sledgehammer being unrealistic. We talk about the idea of most death matches, fire-related, being unrealistic, because it's not like someone's going to pull out a gun. It's not like the ring's really going to explode, I hope. But in the world of Progress, when Jimmy said what he said, you believed it. And so you take a guy like that. He's a scumbag of the earth. Will Ospreay beats him in Chapter 20. I'm sorry, spoilers. Thunder Bastard beyond Thunder Bastard. Thunder Bastard is their Thunderdome War Games. It's basically their ultimate weapons, no disqualification, feud-settling match. Ospreay wins. They have a delightful feud, and now you fast forward to 2017. Over the last few years, Jimmy Havoc's kind of rethought his ways. He had an injury to his knee where he had to sit out for a while, so he makes the return as a conquering hero to Progress as a face. Well, there's one person on the roster that really didn't appreciate that, and that was, surprise, surprise, Will Ospreay, because one does not become friends with someone who decides to threaten to cut one's head off, as Ned Stark would say. So these guys feud. They're feuding. He goes away, comes back as a face, is going up against British Strong Style, and says, hey, in true 80s wrestling fashion, if there's one person I can trust, it's a guy that could nearly tear my head off, and that's Will Ospreay. Me and Will Ospreay against British Strong Style. Let's do it. Will Ospreay comes out, canes him, throws him on some tacks, beats the crap out of him, and leaves. So now these guys have a blood feud where, if you logically think it through, there is no reason for Will Ospreay to have forgiven him. Think about what's going on right now, for instance, with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Similar situation. There's no upside to forgiving him. But the problem is that Will Ospreay takes it too far. And so now Will Ospreay becomes the heel. He's the coward that's going around teaming up with old Paul Robinson, or old associates of Jimmy Havoc, like Paul Robinson, pardon me, who was a member of Regression back in the day. And so now these guys have to have another fans bring the weapons match, where fans brought a grandfather clock. I don't know how they got that under the ring. I still don't know. Weed whackers, Legos, because someone's a sadist. And, this is where the deep dive comes in. The original Progress staff that Jimmy claimed was destroyed. So these little things are just fun tastes into what I think is an awesome organization like Progress Wrestling. And I just spent the good 10 minutes there talking to you guys about my favorite match. Now, I have some other matches I want to talk to you guys about, but I also want to talk to you. So make sure you call in at area code 515-605-9345. Again, that's 515-605-9345. But before I go to calls, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Well, at least the guy who looks like him in Progress. More on him when we come back to the deep dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, we're back on the deep dive. And like I said, I wanted to talk a little bit about Jesus, or at least Pastor Bill Lever. Bill, as I mentioned before, is a Progress trainee, winner of the National Progression Series, former world champion, and he handles his gimmick in a way that I think is quite fun because he looks like Jesus Christ in the traditional sense. He uses the razor's edge and does so in a way that is pretty funny because, you know, obviously he has him set up for a crucifix before the crucifix powerbomb. Comes out to reach out and touch faith. And it's just a fun gimmick. He has the clothesline from heaven, Jesus wept, and the popish hammer. I mean, you can't get better than that. So the reason I wanted to bring up William is because he's in my second favorite match from Progress, a feud with a gentleman by the name of Sebastian. Now, Sebastian is one of the old school smarmy, scumbaggy heels. If you look at him on Twitter, if you see Seb, is his handle. And Sebastian had done some things that had pushed point where he assaulted Sebastian before a match they were to have started, injuring Sebastian legitimately. They then turned that into an angle where Sebastian said, legally, since the match hadn't started, you committed assault. And if you don't want me to press charges, you have to be my slave, which is pretty smart. So you take that, and now Sebastian is forcing Bill to get out of title matches and give them to him. Or if there's a opportunity to get a title match, he'll put himself in the battle royal once and then tell Bill to eliminate himself so he could win. You know, all the traditional ways where you're going to get heat, you're going to have people hating him and all that good stuff. But here's where it gets fun. Eventually, William snaps. And then at Chapter 44, they have their match, and finally, he rids himself of Sebastian. Now, the match itself was good. I'm not a big person on stars. I haven't done it long enough, and I don't feel comfortable starting now. But this is a good match, but it was a great story, so it made it a great match, if that makes sense. So when you see a guy like Believer, when I see a guy like Believer and I see Progress, that's the type of thing that makes me happy because they can develop these guys that can help them find their characters. They even have a nice little anti-piracy ad where it says you wouldn't steal the pastor's Bible. You wouldn't steal Glenn's glasses. You wouldn't steal Ginny's purse. And I'll get to Ginny in a minute. Why would you steal this wrestling? And for a promotion as small as they are, I completely agree. If you have a chance, spend the $750, join up, and enjoy some great wrestling. So, we've talked about a couple of matches. I haven't talked to you about all of the titles, and I want to do that soon. But first, I want to go to a caller. And since I see his hand is up, I'm going to go to 862. And I believe this is my good friend, Kylan. Kylan, is this you? Welcome to the deep dive.
It sure is, Vince. How are you?
I'm great. I'm always excited to talk to you guys about this fun stuff. And I'm really appreciative that you were able to help me get on the path to get this show going today, because we had a little bit of technical snafu.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that Travis or Bruce or one of the senior staff around here didn't tell you these before they gave you this show, but...
Well, here's the thing, Kylan. I think, first, Bruce was still smarting from being fired. And second, I think Travis feels a little, you know, you heard a little bit if you listen to this week's VIP of the East Coast cast. He's feeling a little betrayed, like which one of us, when Brian Austin asked the question, which one of us now is the top black pundit in wrestling journalism? And I deferred completely to Travis. I don't write much. I just talk with you guys. That's not my bag. But, you know, he's feeling like little Marty Jannetty. He's a little old in the tooth, and he's got this young buck who was tagging with him, and we got interviewed and accidentally threw him through a barbershop window. It happens, right?
Yep, sure enough. So I would just like to say that, as I'm sure will usually be the case, unless you give us something that's absolutely awful, I truly and thoroughly enjoyed this week's homework assignment.
Excellent. I know I'm going to try in the future with each subject, depending on if I can. I want to have matches and promos, but with progress, it was fun because I could show like the top six matches of 2016 and show you guys some promos, because they do fantastic production.
I specifically enjoyed the SDS promo in which they presented the kind of basic purpose of wrestling as Vader discussed on the Steve Allen Unreal Story of Professional Wrestling special that aired on A&E about 20 years. Now, in this promo, they basically reaffirmed Vince Russo's philosophy, but with regular people, where they said no person is ever truly good, and no person is really truly evil, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, the SDS, who Kylan is talking about, they're the Sumerian Death Squad. That was Dante and Tommy End. And I really enjoy that promo. In fact, I'm going to throw it out here. Talking now about Sumerian Death Squad, SDS. I really enjoyed it because I don't know if you noticed this, but that's the opening stanza to his current WWE theme.
I did notice that, but obviously not having the background to knowing where it came from, I just kind of blew it off and, what the heck is this? But now, thanks to your homework, I'll know what it is every time he comes out.
Oh, yeah, it was. And yeah, when I heard the second I heard the his debut, and I had to double check. So I spent that whole week. I was probably a complete pain in my wife's butt, as usual, because I was scouring YouTube to see if someone had a clean copy of it, because I was like, I could swear he just said, no man is ever truly good. No man is ever truly evil. And that's a direct callback to who he is. If you listen to his Tuesday Night Jaw, which thank you for mentioning the SDS, because that leads me to also talk about the awesomeness of Jim Smallman at Jim Smallman's podcast, where he not only talks with wrestling luminaries like a William Regal, his own former employees like Tommy End, but he does a coverage of wrestling in a way that's kind of different than what we do at the Torch. He doesn't take the hood up too much, especially for Progress. So you don't hear, here's how I created my character at Progress. Here's how we came about this feud. He will talk around things, and I respect the heck out of him for it because we don't need to see behind the curtain. But when it comes to that, when you listen to Tommy End talk about his religious views, because he's a Satanist in the classic sense, not like killing goats and whatnot, but in that he sees there is a balance to the world. You need good and evil. And he happens to believe that seeing Satan as evil isn't necessarily the bad thing. Now, for me as a Christian, that completely flies in the face of what I believe. But this is the same dude. I gave him a fist pump when I was in Texas because I saw a match of his. It wasn't at Progress because people at Progress are super chill. Because there's – and I'll get to that after we're done. There's only one rule at Progress, and it's a very simple rule. You can chant what you want, cheer what you want, drink what you want, but they say don't be a dick. And for them, don't be a dick means don't be a jerk, don't stand up the whole time. Anything that can encompass bringing a negative wrestling experience to the fans, don't do that. So the place that Tommy End was at a few years ago, he was wrestling and he was brawling in the crowd, right? And there was a fan that said a racial slur for black people in the audience. Tommy stopped the match, walked up to the dude and said, if you say that one more time, I will stomp you out. And he used some more choice words leading to stomping the guy out. And so when I saw him in Texas, I was like, hey, Tommy, thanks for like doing that in the match. And he was like, nah, man, F racism. And I gave him a fist bump and a hug because that's why Progress Wrestling gets me, because everyone is welcome. And I'm sorry for hijacking your call, Kylan. Go ahead.
That's okay. Anytime we can use vehicles like this to promote goodness in the world is fine with me.
Absolutely. Same thing with me. So now that you've looked at the homework, what questions do you have or what observations do you have from the matches or anything else in Progress?
I also found it interesting that Jimmy Havoc seems to have taken on a Abdullah the Butcher / Mick Foley / Bruiser Brody hardcore style, and in one of the promos, There was a line in there by another wrestler telling Jimmy Havoc that he's too good to be doing that kind of stuff and he shouldn't feel like he has to do that. So what's your perspective on seeing Jimmy Havoc adopt this kind of persona, and do you think he will continue to use this style long term, or do you think he will eventually scale back to make himself more WWE or major promotion friendly, so to speak?
No, I think he'll do it. I still think he'll do it because I think Jimmy isn't a person that's going to be worried about image and things like that. He likes having fun in the ring. I mean, when I was there in Orlando, he was wrestling Ethan Page, which was a great match. Great match. And they're brawling all through the crowd. And he asked if somebody could buy him a pint. And he was legit disappointed at the end of the match that no one had done that in the interim. And so a woman in the front row gave him her beer, and he laughed, drank it, and walked away. So he's kind of like a everyman wrestler, and I think there's a place for him. In the WWE, I would say there is one too, because he could be in NXT, or he could do what he did while he was there for WrestleMania weekend. Progress Wrestling wrestled at Access. And they were themselves. They didn't change anything up. It wasn't like, Jimmy Chaos doing in the Impact Zone or something silly like that. He showed up. He was himself. He had a good match, and he left. And so I think there's a place for him. I think if he was in WWE, he'd probably start in NXT, and they'd kind of soften those edges a little bit because you can't have John Cena landing on Legos, you know. You can't see me, but you can see those Legos, right?
And my second question is in regards to Rampage Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see somebody like a Rampage Brown progressing, pun intended, to not necessarily a WWE, because I don't think he's ready for that, but I do suppose, since New Japan has Bad Luck Fale, that he could make a very nice living in New Japan when he decides the time is right for him to exit out of Neighborhood Progress Wrestling.
I like Rampage Brown, and thanks for that question, Connor. I think he's a guy who, when you watch him wrestle, the thing about Rampage Brown that's fun with Progress is, and this goes back to what I was talking about with the titles, because Progress is an independent promotion where they go by the best wrestlers and the best characters really are going to be pushing to the forefront. Like, Jimmy Havoc doesn't have to be Okada. He just has to be Jimmy Havoc, and the people accept him as a top-level guy. They don't look at him and say, oh, he's too skinny. Oh, why is this goth dude wrestling? Yada, yada, yada. With Rampage Brown, there's so many Jimmy Havoc, so many smaller guys that work really well. Progress went the opposite of the WWE and most major promotions. So their world title is open weight. But if you're 220 pounds and over, they have what they call the Atlas Championship. So it's like the big boy championship. And so a guy like Rampage Brown was perfect for it because he fits. He's a big bad dude. He was actually their first champion back in September 2016. And then he lost it to Matt Riddle, who had it up until July, like the first week of July, where he lost it to Walter, who was a wrestler who was a part of a tag team called Ring Kampf, which is another sweet group that I'll get to, I'm sure, at some point down the line. But in terms of your question about Rampage Brown, you might not have known this, but he already has been in the WWE. He was a jobber in ECW, and then for a year and a half, he was in Florida Championship Wrestling as Monty Lynch.
I did not. And FCW, I believe, is still on YouTube, unless the McMahon police have taken it down. So I will now go and search out whatever footage might be available of him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Check him out. He's the one thing that won't, and here's the reason why I don't think he would go back, at least right away, is he has a training school. So he's training guys in the UK at the same time as wrestling in the UK. So I think he's found a good fit. And at the age of 33, unless he actively wants to live in the United States, I think he's found his niche, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would guess. And before I go, Rich, I would like to ask you a very small favor.
Sure.
Since I think you have already noticed how diligent I am in terms of making sure I get a hold of you to find out what the homework is each week. If you see something you feel that I would be able to appreciate and be challenged by as an extra credit assignment, each week, I would be glad to take on the task of viewing that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what I'll do, and thanks for the call, Kylan. Have a good night. What I'm going to do then is, if you want the extra credit, I'll send it to you, and I'll put it on Twitter. And for any of the extra credit stuff, that could be my VIP. So in addition to any of the issues I might have to cover in VIP on a weekly basis, having some deep dive extra credit would definitely be right up my alley, because I've got pages of stuff I wanted to make sure I covered with you guys, and I'm looking at the clock, and I realize I have a few moments before I have to take my final break. But when we come back, I'm going to dive into more things with the titles, tag teams, the Women of Progress, and why I think 2017 might be the best year yet for the London-based enterprise.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
All righty, we're back, and we're in the home stretch of the deep dive. I'm Rich Fan here with you to talk with Progress Wrestling. So, like I said, I want to talk about a couple of key points. I think Kylan's extra credit suggestion is a great one. So if you're interested, email me at pwtdive@gmail.com or hit me on Twitter at @rich_fan, like the appliance, F-A-N with an extra N, F-A-N-N. So definitely hit me up for that. Now, when it comes to Progress, I mentioned the women, tag teams, and a couple of people I wanted to talk to that I hadn't gotten around to yet. I would be remiss if I didn't start with a woman who is one of my favorite wrestlers, sex not being the most important thing there, and that's Jenny. Jenny is a woman that is a fashionista. She is a trendsetter, and she's also one of the most vicious heels Progress has on the roster. She's insufferable. She's angry, and she's probably going to be in the WWE in the next year, and I will love watching her. In terms of tag teams, we mentioned the Sumerians Death Squad. I mentioned CCK, the South Pacific Power Trip. Imagine what's going on right now with Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis. I'm sorry, Mike and Maria Kanellis. Add in a tag team partner that has to sit on the apron while his tag team, the one half of his team, is making out with their manager consistently. And that's what the South Pacific Power Trip is. I saw them live in Orlando versus Shane Strickland and Sami Callihan. It was probably one of the best tag team matches I've ever seen in my life live. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And I cannot recommend more. If you go on to demand-progress.pivotshare.com, go on there, pay the $7.50, go watch that match, Progress Orlando, and come back to me. Let me know what you thought. I also want to mention British Strong Style, London Riots, The Origin. I mentioned The Origin earlier when I was talking about the first few champions. The Origin is a team that was comprised of Nathan Cluse, El Ligero, and there were a few other people. But here's the thing about The Origin. They started out as your traditional evil heel squad, which can get boring. What happens is when you look at The Origin and they all of a sudden – transition and they become a comedy group. And so you have The Origin, and then you have what they call the Origin Banter Edition. And so the Origin Banter Edition was Dave Mastiff and El Ligero. The Origin itself was Dave Mastiff, El Ligero, Damon Moser, number one, Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson. And this, all they're doing is just, like I said, being scumbags, doing the heel thing. But then all of a sudden, Ligero, who's more of a British luchador, he had somewhere around 200 matches last year, maybe 150, if I remember correctly. It might be somewhere between 150 and 200. Anywho, the man works. So Ligero is a heel, but he's a guy that works really hard. And he's kind of like how, if you remember the former pro wrestler and current owner of Orphanage somewhere in Mexico. I don't want to mention his name because it chokes me up too much to think of a world without him. But Sami Zayn wrestles like him. And I think he was trained by Sami Zayn. I don't know. Sami Zayn trained him. He trains. I don't. Who am I to judge about who trained whom, right? Anywho, you look at El Ligero. You look at a big guy like his tag partner. And you think him and Mastiff are just going to be, okay, they're just going to be two guys wrestling together, comedy tag team. But Banner Edition, they have a ball with it. And I love this group mainly because Dave Mastiff turned me on to Denim and Lever, which is one of the best ballad songs while you're running or in the shower singing. Try it. That's going to be my deep dive homework assignment. Put Denim and Leather on and see how high you can belt it when you're in the shower tonight, and then get back to me at Rich Fan. And then hashtag it singing. Hashtag singing with Mastiff. Singing with Mastiff. Now, there's one more thing, and I know we have one more caller before I close up shop, and that's Ringkampf. Ringkampf is a German tag team that ascribes to what you see in Evolve. If you watch Evolve, there's a group called Catchpoint, and they swear that they're wrestling grat-based. They don't want to do anything flashy. They just want to get you down, get you out, get you to tap out. Same thing with Ringkampf. You have Walter. You have Tim Thatcher. And you had a few other wrestlers, but mainly right now, those were the three guys. So you have Tim Thatcher, you have Falter, and then there's a third gentleman who Axel Dieterth Jr. Axel, for some reason, I keep forgetting, but Axel now is Axel Tischer in NXT. So now there's going to be this group of fun guys that go around wrecking dudes, and you have a guy in NXT representing him, which makes me so happy. But again, I'm digressing. Ringkampf comes out. They have this delightful black mat, very German aesthetic to them. You know, black boots, black trunks. But the thing that pulled me into Ringkampf is, and I have to get their actual towel like I'm looking right now, my Progress Strong Style towel I have in my office here, my fan compound. Die Matte ist heilig, which translates from German, the mat is holy. So they take wrestling seriously, guys. And so when they wrestle, you enjoy it. You're going to enjoy the graps, and you're going to enjoy them against teams like British Strong Style, because the style of Progress Wrestling can go from that garbage style wrestling of a Jimmy Havoc to a technical marvel like Ringkampf against, let's say, CCK, to high flyers, to comedy and everything in between. And so it's a big top, and they say it's pro wrestling for grown-ups. They respect the fact that you want a story to believe in. You want little pieces from one chapter to resonate 50 chapters down the line, like I mentioned before with the Jimmy Havoc and Will Ospreay situation. And they want you in the moment to enjoy it without someone around you, quote unquote, being a dick. Now, I mentioned that we had a call. So 478, welcome to the deep dive. You're diving in with me. How are you tonight?
How you doing, Rich? This is Darrell.
I got you, D. How you been, man?
All right, man. All right. Been listening the whole time while I'm trying to get off from work. So
that's awesome, you know, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I had to come in, just add in a few things. You know, I found Progress a few years ago, back when I was searching for this guy named Prince Devin. He came in.
There you go.
And I was trying to find some information on him, and then I seen this entrance where he come in as a Joker, and I was like, wow, what is this place? And so as I was finding out more about the place he wrestled at and all of that, I got introduced to this guy named Jimmy Havoc. And I think about 4 months ago, I sent you a video about the storyline that he had with the rehabilitation of Jimmy mm-hmm. Havoc when he was going on his quest to fight Pete Dunne for the title. When
yep.
he ran through Marty Scurll first, then Will Ospreay, then Tommy Yen to potentially become the number one contender. And from that storyline on, they done had me since, because that whole storyline and everything and just the whole feel of it It was something different, something totally different, new. And it had me hook, line, and sinker. And Jimmy Havoc, one of my favorite wrestlers out there today, just because of that storyline also. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I met him in Orlando, I wanted to give him props for doing so much. And, I mean, because he takes a beating, man. It's not like he's going through like the Sandman or New Jack where he's beating the crap out of the guy for 30 minutes and then he maybe gets a little bit. He takes a beating in those matches.
Oh, yeah. He takes a real beating. I think the match that he had where he had to fight his the guy that was in the ring with him, his friend, and that match right there, that was a brutal match to where I think he thumbed his head through some type of light poles or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was
tubes.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tube. That was amazing, man. And I think that from that moment forward, he went to Australia. That's when he hurt his knee doing
mm-hmm.
like the coup de grace outside
yep.
and slipped off the man's back.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, but I like the long-term story storytelling. That's what get me into progress. How they with the different chapters and everything, and how they tell the story. That's what been selling me so far with those
yeah.
guys, man.
Absolutely,
I really,
and I think
respect.
Now, here's my question for you, Darrell. Since you've been watching Progress, and I've been trying to sell people on watching it tonight. I have like two pages of notes. I got like halfway through, and it felt like the hour flew by. Sell them on a person or a match that maybe I didn't mention that you think people would really like?
Going back to Jimmy Havoc, him versus Marty Scurll.
Okay.
Was an awesome match. Different style. Mashing together, and he didn't use the hardcore element in that whole match. No chairs, no light tubing, just a basic regular match. And, you know, with the villain and his technical prowess and everything, it was just something to watch. You would have thought they wouldn't have mashed together, but hey, it was a great match.
Yeah,
in my book,
absolutely.
In my eyes.
Oh, and that's the thing with Jimmy, he does such a good job when he's wrestling people that I kind of mentioned this with Suzuki and some of the guys in New Japan, where you bring them into your world. He does the opposite. He's really good at going into anyone else's world he has to. And that's just – it's magical because he – you know, the Acid Rainmaker, he's got the double stomp. There's so many ways he can beat you, and there's so many ways he can come at you with the wrestling that when he does go into the hardcore stuff, it kind of – jars you.
Yeah, that's what it got me too. Choose the noise. I'm leaving up out of work, so.
No, it's
but,
all good. We gotta eat, right?
That was. Yeah, we gotta eat, especially these 12 hours. But the guy, man. When you think of bookers today. I'm putting the guy who runs Progress up there as one of the top bookers, especially because of his storyline. And then when you see how they put stuff together because when they post some of that stuff on YouTube and how it all fits together and make a nice little clip, 4-minute clip, and you can get the whole story without having watching everything from the beginning and catch back up where everybody else at. So that's another thing that I like about Progress also.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They make it user-friendly. It isn't something like I was saying at the very beginning of the show. You don't need to have your fan card checked. Like, you know, I was mentioning, I don't know if you were on the phone earlier when I mentioned it. You know, like when you're in the comic book shop and someone's like, oh, okay, you like this guy, but I bet you don't know about this. Or like, name an album. Name 5 albums. You know, when people start doing stuff like that, it kind of makes it unattractive to be a fan.
Yes, I heard that. I heard what you were saying that earlier. Yeah, and that kind of gets to you to a point also and make you shy away from stuff like that. But with this right here, and how they tell the story and how you can catch you back up. And then once you catch back up, you probably be all into it. I got a couple of my friends who we watch wrestling together, and I got them to watch some of the clips. I started them out by watching the clips on YouTube. I sent it to them. And then after a while, it didn't even really take that long. They started getting into it and want to watch it too. So that adds more for us to talk about. And I ain't have to say, well, you missing out this or you missing out that. I didn't have to tell them that, be overbearing to people when you're introducing somebody to something new or somebody want to experience something different than and they don't know nothing about. It makes it more friendly for them when you can just come in and they can catch right on up and they feel like they're not left behind and stuff like that. And they feel like they can catch up and be right along with everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my man, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. I'm going to shut this puppy down, and you have a safe travel home.
All right, you too, man.
All right, that was Darrell in Georgia. Guys, it's been a pleasure. It really flew by. I have all these notes here, so I'm going to put my notes in the show notes. So if you download this on the Torch, or if you get, inquisitive and you want to tweet me or email, I'll be more than happy to give you any information I can. First, @this_is_progress. Second, @JimSmallman. Those are the two you need to know. You get those two, you'll be fine. If you get a chance, definitely download his podcast, Tuesday Night Jaw. You can look in that in iTunes, just like you look here for the deep dive. And finally, I'm going to challenge you guys. Next week is going to be my first show with a co-host, and it's going to be one of my good friends, Daniel Palmer. We're going to talk about a man who I think is era-proof. What I mean by that is if you stuck him today, he'd be just as over, if not more so, than he was in the era he wrestled. The only catch is some of the words he used might not have been as politically correct or as nice, to be honest. They've been inflammatory, and you'll see it when I send the homework out this week. And that's the big cat, Ernie Ladd. Bruce Mitchell, senior Torch columnist, suggested him to me, and after diving deep into Ernie and seeing him in his element and not just the Black History Month WWE vignettes, the man's golden. And I'm going to, just like it was today, I've got notes upon notes, and an hour's going to go by. And as Ernie said, I might have to slap myself in public in front of my mother if I have to forget some of the things I want to tell you guys next week. So, with that in mind, this is Rich Van signing off for the Torch. Make sure you guys dive into something. Challenge yourself this week, because this is a challenge for all of us, right? We're on the spinning globe. Make yourself better one day at a time, one way at a time, one play at a time. And I'll see you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell audio show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. And it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. This is life.